You know, they say behind every good woman, behind every good man, there is a good woman. You've heard that before, right? Well, behind every good church, there are good servants. I know today is my pastor appreciation day, but I want to just give thanks and appreciation to those who have made my journey what it is today. And everybody could say this. I heard it before in many occasions. I have the best staff. I have the best this. I have the best that. And I'm sure that's so. But from my heart, I thank God for everybody that's been on this journey. You know, some of us go way back. Pam and Brother Jeff and Paula and me and others. We go way back on this journey. It didn't start just today. Started over 40 years ago. That we've been on the same journey, and I think that needs to be said, that I appreciate.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Those that surround me and take care of me and watch over me. And have made this possible for me to continue and be faithful. So you don't do this on your own. You don't stay in ministry 30 years, start 4 churches, and without help from people who love you. And I thank God for my wife, my family, that have moved 26 times along the way for this special season. Because, you know, sometimes we don't recognize the preparation. We want the gift to take place, but there's always preparation in life's journey. And sometimes we get all bent out of shape, but see, God has prepared us, every one of us in the kingdom of God. This is a post-dated time for us. Amen. I know you hear that. I know it goes over some of your heads. I know some of you have never captured it, never caught it, but I am telling you by divine revelation, and prophetically speaking, this is a post-dated season for the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Some will not see it. Some will not partake of it. Some will miss it. But I say to you, grab hope. It's your finest hour.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It's our finest. I'm hearing just right now, I hear something in the distance. I can't really put my hand on it, but there is something on the way that is astounding. There's a new sound. There is an angelic, supernatural. And yeah, I know you hear me say these things, and some say, well, Pastor Mike's been eating too many kidney beans, but I'm telling you, just like last week when we preached the message on unction to function. And we were off this week at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and there were hundreds of people there, and we had a booth setting up. And Brother Jeff and our brother Jerry, had to tell me your name twice today. Brother Jerry was at the booth, and they were manning the booth there, and this woman came up and said, out of all these people, she said, you know, the Holy Ghost sent me over here. And this is not a church setting. This is out in the Chamber of Commerce setting. She said, the Holy Ghost has sent me over here to say to you, there's an unction to function here. Now, this woman's never been here, never seen her, don't know where she came from. It shook them boys up, man. That there's an unction to function in this place.
Yes, sir.
The Bible's in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. And a while back, now this is not fairy tale, this had happened, witnesses.
Yes.
Me and Brother Rodney was at a meeting, and we just had started our messages on the hand of the Lord. I never heard anybody talk about the hand of the Lord in the earth. In the book of Acts, it talks about how the hand of the Lord was in the earth, and they prayed that the disciples would have, apostles would have boldness, and the place was shaken. So we went to a birthday party, and we were standing around, and we were talking, and this older lady, I think she was in the upper 80s, began to talk. And all of a sudden, in her talking, she said this. Rodney will verify it. She said, "The hand of the Lord is in the earth."
Yeah.
And she went back talking about something else.
Man,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, those are far in between things that just don't happen. The Lord is speaking to us to continue to relate to God's people what God is saying today. And so this is our finest hour. We thank God for all you today and your whatever you do for me today. I appreciate it from my heart. And I appreciate what God's doing, but we want to hear God today. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15.
Hallelujah.
This morning I want to talk about positioning yourself for what is to come. Positioning yourself for what is to come. Now I preached a message just a while back that talked about what is to come is now here. And so I'm not contradicting myself. I'm just saying to you, there's more to come.
Amen.
See, God, you don't get all God in one little capsule. You don't get all of God in any what we call moves of God, because God is always on the move. He's always ahead of us. He never lets us, so to speak, catch up. He is creative. Everything about God is a creative, prophetic, head of His people. God goes before us. Say that with me. God goes before us. I know we've made Him our friend. I know we've made Him our everyday one that we speak to, and that's fine. But we need to always remember that God is sovereign, divine, and that He is the creator of all things, and He creates prophetically, therefore He is before us. So when we talk about things to come, we're just talking about God continuing to do what He has always did. When He said, "Let there be light," we have yet to discover the end of that light.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're not confusing you by saying we need to be in position for what is to come. We're just saying that God is continuing to move in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 15, we're going to read the 8 verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Will you underline those words in your Bible, if you write in your Bible? "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." I'm not going to really get into that this morning, but that is a real important scripture for you to know, because most people think when you get Jesus, you are clean. Well,
amen.
Most people think when you get Jesus, He is all that we need. Now, when you get Jesus, you do get righteousness. He was made sin for us that we might be made righteous in Christ Jesus. But just because you got Jesus, it doesn't make you clean. How many of you know after you accepted Jesus, you still have some problems?
Amen.
Some of you still got them today, so put your hands up. Amen. You've been saved 40 years, still got some problems. We all are getting cleansed. It's a daily process all your life, but Jesus doesn't cleanse you. It's the Word
Amen.
That cleanses
yes.
you.
Yes. Amen.
So quit crying to Jesus. Get in the Word of God.
Yes.
And the more you read the Word of God and study the Word of God, the better of a person you will be, because sin and this Word cannot mix. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
I know we don't hear that today. We think, you know, it's tiptoeing through the tulip. But listen, we have problems. We have issues. Every one of us have emotions and things that we have to wrestle with sometimes. And the way to overcome that is not to cry out to Jesus, but get in the Word.
Amen.
Say, "I need the Word of God in me.
I
It's the Word that cleanses me. We got a lot of messed. Oh man, you're gonna get you. We got a lot of messed up people with Jesus. I'm telling you, we got a lot of messed up people who say they have Jesus. They're messed up because they don't have any Word in them.
That's right. That's right.
You give me a person just got Jesus, they're dangerous. But you give me a person that's got Jesus and the Word in them, then they're a life changer. They will change some things.
Amen.
Say this with me.
The only way
I can get cleansed
is
through the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, I knew that by divine revelation. When I got born again, I came from a city called Perversion. I lived with evil thoughts all of my life. Even when I thought I was saved, tried to get saved, baptized almost to the tadpoles, knew my name. I've been to the altar so many times, me and Brother Jeff along the way. Amen. Some of you did the same thing. But when I finally got saved, I realized that that Jesus wasn't enough. I still had problems. I got miraculously saved dying on the pavement of my driveway, but there was a thought pattern that I had in my life that I had to get some help with, and I started reading the Word. I spent hours of tapes. I slept. I literally slept with the Bible in the bed with me. Because when I had the Word in me, I didn't have that tormenting, perverted mind that was trying to... I'm preaching to you now because we're not... We call ourselves Word people. But if a light was put on you today and you got the truth serum, and I asked you how much did you read the Word last week, it would be astounding to find out in this Word church how little the Word of God is read and studied during the week. Can I hear amen? I know you love me. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. That the only cleansing for your life is not at the altar, but at the Word of God. Come to the altar first, then get the book out.
Amen.
The days of your life is not where you get cleansed. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
Verse 3 again. Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Say much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, it's cast forth the branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now turn with me to Psalms chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84. Being in the right position for the things to come. Oh, if you only knew. If you could only get a hold of what is on the way.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. Oh, what excitement you would have this morning just to be in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Psalm 84, verse 11. If you got it, and verse 12, shout glory. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. Say no good thing. Shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I stand up here this morning again to tell you prophetically that there is a wave, listen, there is a wave of grace and glory that is invading this earth. And no good thing, say good thing,
good,
will he withhold from those that walk uprightly.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Yes,
now, I said this morning to a group of ministers that I teach once a month here. The world, whether you believe it or not, the world of darkness has apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Just like we do in the kingdom of light. Whether you know it or not, or recognize it or not, the kingdom of darkness now have begun to prophesy very loud. Amen. They have full control over most of the government and most of the news, everything, the printed page. They are speaking and they have money. They have much money. The God of this world is the one they serve, and they are limitless on their money, and they're limitless on the voice that they have, and they're speaking loud to the earth. And many of God's people have begun to listen to that sound, which is not the sound of God. I'm telling you. We are not to be a defeated people in this hour. We are not to hold our head in the ground and act like we are one of them. We are not one of them. We are God's chosen people. And God has things in store for us in these days in which we live. Amen. Where sin abounds, much more. Say much more. Grace abounds. Where sins abound, much more grace abounds. We have to pick up our vibrations, our tones, our words in this hour. I've talked to them about being courageous. We have to be of men and women who are not afraid not to be politically correct in the hour in which we live. Amen. We have to tell the people that this is the finest hour, that God is going to pour out His grace and power. And Brother Jeff was on it. I'm working on it right now. He's fixing to release His glory like we've never seen it before. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said He won't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly. Now the next verse tells us about how a person walks uprightly. Look at verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman that trusteth in Thee.
Amen.
To walk uprightly is to trust in the Lord.
Yes.
And we all say we do. To trust in the Lord. To thoroughly, listen what the Amplified says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows. He presents grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who trusts in You. Here's what trust is. Leaning and believing on You, committing all and looking to You, and without fear of misgiving.
Amen.
Trust is to lean all the way on the Lord. An upright man really doesn't stand upright. He leans totally on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not upon thy own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct our path.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Listen, no good thing. How many of you need some good things right now?
Yeah.
Some of you are desperately trying with all your thinking and working to get some good things going on. Amen. But I'm telling you here, good things only come to those who walk uprightly. Those who trust God in everything.
Yeah.
Who lean on the Lord in this time that we're living in.
Glory.
Not lean on your thinking.
Come on.
Or what you hear on the TV.
On.
But to lean on the Lord. Now that sounds so simple but so hard to do. To really trust the Lord when you see nothing. To trust the Lord when, man, I'm losing everything.
Come on, preacher. Hallelujah. Right.
To trust in the Lord when you was up here one time, but now you're nothing but a low down.
Come on,
man.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. To trust in the Lord when your wife is fussing at you or your husband is fussing at you that, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why ain't you got this? Why ain't you got that? It's hard to lean on the Lord. Don't fool yourself. It's hard to trust when ain't nothing going on. When it's going on, oh yeah, we shout, we praise God, we run, we do all these things. We're up when God's up. But a person walking uprightly is a person who's up when it's down. Who trusts when there's nothing to see. Who says, well, whatever. 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 If they take it, God's got something better. I've been through that. Me and Penny lean on one another and the Lord. I mean, it's not easy to work all your life. 22 years in the cotton mill. Have successful businesses. Retired at 31 and then find up years later because you're following the Lord. You believe you're following the Lord. You're doing His will. You wind up one day, you lose it all. That's a hard place to be. My heart goes out to you. But I have news for you. If you trust the Lord. If you trust the Lord, if you lean on the Lord, God will make it up. It'll be like Job's, it'll be double for your trouble. But you get off in the blame game, the fussing and the fighting and the oh me and woe me and bury your head in the grass and talk like the world, and I can't get no job, I'm 50 years old, nobody wants to hire me, you're not going to get no job. You don't trust in the Lord. I told you, I believe this. If there's no money in Noonan, in Coweta County, I'm going to have some. If there's no food to eat, I'm going to eat. Because I'm the child of God. And I walk up rightly with the Lord. I trust Him in everything I do and everything where I go. Glory to God. Don't get me upset here. Amen. About like my daddy used to say, I know y'all not hard to hear him, but I'm going to holler anyway. I bust. I'm about to bust.
Hallelujah.
God honors trustworthy people. God honors those who walk uprightly. God honors people who shout when they're on the bottom. God honors people who smile when there's nothing to smile about. God honors people that praise Him when there's nothing to praise God about. He honors that. You hear me? He honors that.
Hallelujah.
We want to shout because we feel it.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all right to do it, but it's best to do it when you don't feel nothing at all. That's when God's fixing to pour you out some good stuff. Say good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Glory. Hey.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. John 15:7 in the Message Bible, we just read it, just you don't have to turn there, says, but if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Here's what I want you to understand. There is a position that we have to be in for the coming glory.
Hallelujah.
For the coming grace and for the good things that God is pouring out on the earth. There is a place that we have to be. a mindset that we have to live. And that mindset and place we have to live is being at home with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not talking about a heavenly home.
Come on.
Everybody's concerned about that, right? They want to move into the heavenly home. They want to store up everything. They're working. We're working hard to get to heaven. All right, is that right? I mean, are you fine? You work. In work, faith has work. But I mean, that's where you want to go, ain't it? Your heavenly home when you wind up, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Amen. You got me nervous there. You want to? Our destination, our final destination, is our heavenly home. That's great. But we're trying to move in the wrong home. We have a home here. It's called Jesus. Being at home with Jesus and His Word. Now, here's where we're at today. Most people are uncomfortable with their relationship with God. And we think that's fine. We think that's where we ought to live. We ought to always be trying to get more of Jesus. Woo. I'm going to tear your religious thinking about. May I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot get more of Jesus than you have. That you cannot get more born again than you are. Do you know that your spirit is already sitting in heavenly places? And it cannot get more better, more gooder. You can't work any harder to make your spirit of Jesus in you any larger or better than what it is. Most of the stuff we've been taught, we've been thinking about, is no more than religion. Religion tries to keep you from your heavenly gift.
Yes. Amen. That's right. But you preach it for a church.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we grow big churches on telling people how bad they are. We have this thing about us. If I can keep you, they used to say, if I can keep the preacher poor and broke, he'll stay at the church. And we feel, as preachers, if we can keep you unworthy, you'll keep coming to church. Want more of God. And it's backfiring on us now because the church can't give you what you need.
Amen.
You already got what you need.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, if you make yourself at home with me, Jesus said, and my word is in that home with me, whatever you ask.
Come on
now. You can rest assured whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon.
Glory.
Making your home with Jesus. You're not going to live where you're uncomfortable. Pam, you need to help me.
Right.
Say amen. You're not going to live anywhere you're uncomfortable. And most Christians are uncomfortable with their salvation.
They are.
That's why you never share it. Can I preach a little bit? You can't give away what you don't have. You can't bubble if you don't have no fizz in you. Oh, it's easy to talk about the world's condition. What you hear Fox say, or what you hear anybody else say, ABC. It's easy to say it's getting bad. It's easy to say, woo, what are we going to do? It's easy to say the company's going down. It's easy to say what's happening. Whoa, but we should be saying the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what He's done in my life. Let me tell you, me and Him spent a lot of hours together.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Most people are very uncomfortable with a relationship with God. Some of you sitting here this morning, you're still trying to get saved. Well, let's say it this way. You're still trying to feel saved. Something just ain't quite right. when you get alone. Something missing, something broken, something. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't reach out to God. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray and seek God. What I'm talking about is when we're uncomfortable with our relationship. That you're not going to stay anywhere you're uncomfortable. Human nature won't let your mind, your spirit, you just won't hang around. Do you hang around people that make you uncomfortable?
No.
I don't have time. I say bye-bye now. I don't have time for that. Bye-bye now. You take me down, bye-bye now. I don't need no down. I need some up.
Amen.
I know where I'm at. I have to live with myself. Oh, you live with yourself. You know where you at when you go to bed. You know where you at when you put your pillow head on your pillow. You know exactly where you at. You don't need nobody to knock you down. Most people need somebody to build them up. How is your relationship with the Lord? What is it based on, number one? You hear me talk about it because I grew up in a filling church. We are Pentecostal. We are charismatic, Pentecostal, word of faith, name it all, we are. And we like to feel God. We base our relationship with feelings. Most of you base your relationship with people on how you think they perceive you, how they feel about it. And so if we don't feel comfortable with God, we will one. We got this thing. We will eventually. There'll be some way, a hookup, some revival. We'd run all over town trying to get somebody to lay hands on us, make us feel better.
Come on, preacher, man.
I'm preaching. I'm tearing this sucker up, man. I'm telling you, we are too weak. We are weak people. We don't need. We are in the battlefront. Listen, we are called to battle. Brother Jeff keeps talking. There's a new sound, a battle cry coming out. I'm telling you that we fight the good fight of faith. We're not wrestling with people. We're supposed to pull down in this place. We're supposed to bind up in this place. We're supposed to loose in this place. But you're not going to be able to bind up and loose and all that if you don't know who you are in Jesus. We're supposed to live with Him. A lot of people take Him to church with Him on Sunday. Talk to him when we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Call him up like a genie. Jenny? Call him up. Get the old royal telephone up. Call him up. Central's never busy. Always on the line.
Almost
whatever it is. Can't say it no more. We use the Lord like a crutch. When we need to make a home for him. Say, I have a home for the Lord. You don't trust Him enough to move in with Him. Can I preach to you? We don't trust the Lord enough to really move in with the Lord. To give the Lord every care of our life. To give the Lord our future. To give our Lord everything that we are. We're uncomfortable, so we can't live in a house where we're uncomfortable. I dealt with people all my life, so, you know, I know who really got it and who really ain't. I know people who have the joy and share their life. You can see it on them. It's something that you can see. It's a spirit bear witness with one another that you in the household. You're living with the Lord. He is your master. He is your king. He is not a tool. He's not something we use every day. He only pours out good things with those who walk uprightly. That's a position we have to take in this day, that we're not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what the Word of God says, that it's Christ in me, the hope of my glory. That's how you can live in season when everything is out of season. That's how you can be blessed when everybody around you are not. That's how you can have the joy when everybody's on the bottom, you're still on the top.
Yeah.
It's because you've moved in with the Lord, and the Lord's Word has moved in you.
Hallelujah.
Let me give you a word. Church ain't going to do it no more. Church ain't going to do it no more. Church is not. There's an exodus right now of people leaving churches because it ain't working. Because church is not supposed to be your source. It's your commitment. It's your trust in God. It's your leaning on the Lord. It's your walking uprightly that gets that good stuff to you. It's not the pleading and the crying and the moaning and the groaning and some kind of system you have worked up, seven steps to Him or whatever. It's you. What? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's, you know who you are.
Yeah.
Not a one of you know your relationship with God. Who are you fooling? You know how you feel about the Master. You know what He means to you. You know if you're leaning on Him or you trouble with everything you're looking around. He only gives good things to those who walk uprightly. Hear me. You can fill out 50 applications. You know how many people are filling out applications today. Do you know how many people don't have jobs today? Do you know how many people are losing homes today? You're not alone. But I tell you how you get out of all the good things that you walk uprightly. You may be a little alone in that area. Because the higher up you go with God, the lonelier it is, believe me. People want to pull you down, man. Come on now, they don't want you up. Because when you up, it looks like they're down. I mean, we're living in a world we want everybody to be. I'm not the same as you. I don't say that arrogantly. You're not the same as me. We are not the same. We have a personal relationship, every one of us, with the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if it's only how far you want to go. If you want to go high with God, go for it. But if you want to live like everybody else and be comfortable around lack, and defeat, poverty, miss, grumbling, grappling. Go for it. But I want to live in the house with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Preaching.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
He said, if you just open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and you sup with me. In other words, we'll come in and have complete fellowship. Here's the bottom line. My trouble's not you. My trouble's not the world's condition. Isaac was in the land of two famines. Two famines. It didn't affect his outcome. He sowed and reaped 100-fold. He's in the midst of lack. You're not my problem. The world's not my problem. The problem is my relationship with the one who pours out good stuff. Say good stuff.
Good stuff.
I don't know about that. Well, that's all right. You won't get none of it either.
Tell them, preacher. Tell them.
I love everybody. Anybody ever talks about my love for people, they're just crazy. They ain't spent any length of time with me. They know what I've given and what I still give to people.
Amen.
Still, this very moment. My mind is on you. And you may not believe it. Every day I get up thinking about what can I do for you? How can I help you? What can I put in your hands to make you successful? How can I? What you don't understand, there's more people here now that's without than it was just when it was you. And the resources that we have, I'm telling you, there's not enough now. Thank you. You need to know that. So you'll know where your resource come from. Money's not flowing from heaven like it used to. There's money here. There's every need is met here. But it takes a whole lot of money to run this thing. You just don't have any idea how much it takes to run this thing. I'm trying to point you where the real help comes. And the real help comes is when you truly move in with Jesus. When you stop this crap about your grumbling and griping and quit, oh, get on with your life. Quit it. Quit it. Just quit that stuff. Get on your knees and repent today somewhere. And move in with Jesus. It's going to be all right. Me and my wife love enough. We made this commitment to one another when we were losing our house and cars. We said together, we joined hands and said, you're the lover of my life. We will not lose one another over any material possession. I didn't marry a house. I didn't marry a car. I didn't marry clothes. I married a shoe. I married the woman I love. And if I love her, I'll live in a trash can. And she'll live in a trash can. Good God. Think about it. Miss Penny's moved 26 times following me. We lived in roach infested places. We drove cars that would roll down the window. We had no money to buy Christmas before. But we didn't break up. We didn't throw our hands up. We stayed committed to God. And at that time, we tried to walk uprightly. We didn't know what it was to trust God. We was on a journey. We thought everything would be fine. We jumped into faith. We thought, man, I got this faith. I'll move every mountain that come. We didn't realize, oh, man, you got to grow that thing. It's like a seed. You got to work it. If you have faith to move the mountain. Have faith in God. How much you got? Will you let me preach this morning, will you? My heart's breaking for some of you. You're going down the road of defeat and you just can't recognize that outside of yourself is not your help. It's what's inside you is your help. And when you truly lean on Him. Everybody has to learn how. We can sing it all we want. Lean on Him. But until you go through some adversity that you cannot handle, and there's no way out but for you to trust, you learn how to trust God. Y'all all right? Some of you look like you're sad. You put this to work in your life, you can surpass me or anybody else in here. I told you time, I know you don't hear it, but I'm telling you. When we received the message that you're receiving now, 30 years ago, we had nobody cheering us on. We had nobody to weep over us to continue in faith. We had nobody to join with us and say, let's take it. All our peers, all our fathers, all the fathers of faith turned on us. Tried to get us to deny the faith message. But we walked uprightly. The best we could. We healed one another. That's why we moved around with it. We really, it was like a cult, but it wasn't. It wasn't. We moved from place to place, putting bandages on one another's wounds for years. We talked it. We had to build ourselves up. Nobody encouraged us. We encouraged one another. We spent endless hours talking about one day God's going to send us a millionaire and we'll be able to do the work of God. 30 years ago when we didn't have a dime to put in the pot. Right. Come on. What we would do and how we would be, and we would have a church one day that we wouldn't owe on, and we would have all this thing done. It looked like no way possible that would ever happen, but I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. That if you walk uprightly, trust in the Lord, and don't give up on your vision and your dream, it's possible for you to. Wow. I'm preaching myself happy. We're talking about being in the right position, trusting in the Lord. Because he said he'd pour out these good things for those who walk uprightly. Amen. And it goes back to what I've always said. This is one of my messages for the end time. It's called the message of disqualification. How we have disqualified our own self from the blessings of God. How we have stood in God's place to judge our own self. I know the Bible says judge yourself. It's talking about judging it in your sin condition. What are you doing with your hands, your feet? What are you doing with your body? What are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with your mouth? Is it bearing righteous things, or you've got your hands otherwhere? But people, we spend ourselves qualifying our spirit, qualifying who we are in Christ Jesus. Because we don't feel him, we must not be near him. Because he's not near me, I don't feel him near me, then something's wrong with me. So I'm not going to live with him. I'm not going to approach him. I'm not going to call on him. I'm just going to wait, and things are going to, you know, one day I'll get better, and I'll have a revival in my soul, and I'll be up again. And we just sit there, and all the time we're doing this, the promises of God are withheld from us, and we just don't experience the good things of God. And then the season comes, and the season leaves. And it may be a long time for that season to come again. I'm telling you, God is supernaturally opening up the heavens and pouring out things he never poured out right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's lasting right now. I'm telling you, you need to get in on the plan. You need to get in on what God is doing. Because people got this kind of imagine that I can just call God up anytime I want to, and he just shows up. You know, people think they can get saved anytime they want to. Do you know you can't? Do you know you think you chose him, but the Bible says he chose you? A lot of people waiting on deathbed repentance. I'm not so sure about that now. I know. They say all you got to do is call on the Lord, but you know, is it your chosen time? You better, when the season and when the Lord is there, that's the time to move towards the Lord.
That's right.
That's to move in with him. He's saying to us this morning, move in with me. Move in with me, and my word will move into you. And whatever you asked, it shall be done unto you. Walk uprightly. What it's about? Leaning, trusting your whole life. Leaning on the Lord. See, me and Penny, and you may say you're bragging, but this is the way it works in our life. We don't own nothing. We'll move tomorrow. I told the other day, don't you think we lived here a little bit too long? That's what I told my kids today. I said, you know, you're part of this. Whatever I get today, I'm going to share with you. You don't have to do that, Daddy. I said, I always do that. Because everywhere we ever went, you never said a word. I moved my kids all over the place. Teenage years, their friends and all. I don't tell you to do that. But I did that. And they were with me. And they never grumbled, griped, said, we're not going. They always got in the car, packed up, got the little boxes together, and we made a split. Because we want to live in the house that God's making in us.
Amen.
I'm going to close in a minute. John 15:3 says, and we read it, now you are cleansed through the word which I have spoken to you. The Amplified says, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. See, it still goes back. Some people think God's going to punish me to make me right. God's going to afflict me to make me better. God's going to do this. Adversity is going to bring me to the Lord. You'd be surprised how much adversity takes you away from God. You'll be surprised how many people are mad at God right now, don't even go to church. It's when you move into God, Jesus, and Jesus' word moves into you, then you are pruned already, is what he said. You don't need the Lord to cut your arm off to be a better Christian. You don't have to get in a wreck to love the Lord. You don't have to lose your home to say, I know he provides.
Come on.
Listen to me. That's just a bunch of hogwash. That's the religion.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Walk uprightly. Lean on the Lord entirely.
Thank you, Lord.
And He will give you some good stuff.
Yes, sir, He will.
Amen. Glory to God.
Mm-mm.
It's not about doing right. It's about being right. And if you have Jesus in your heart, you are right in your spirit. You're going to have to work on some things. We live by the law of sowing and reaping. You don't reap so right, you reap wrong. Amen. He's not up there with a sledgehammer to beat you up. I go back, see, you're not going to move in with the Lord if you're uncomfortable with the Lord. And 90% of the people sitting here are uncomfortable with the Lord. I can look at you. I don't know what the world thinks about you. I'm just telling you, I can look at you. I could go to your job and ask them. I know I've been to people's job. I didn't know there was a Christian. Been there working 20 years. How could you not know that something different about you? Huh? I've gotten elevators. My wife would tell you, I've gotten elevators with people. Not having my preacher garb on. They say, "You a preacher, ain't you?" I guess it's my hairdo. It looks like I'm an evangelist. Amen. You get around people, you know when they're right. Am I telling you right? How many right people do we have today? How many people have truly lived in the home with Jesus? So that when you ask, you are full confident that He gives an ear to you and He'll do what you ask. Very few people live. I'm trying to help you to say, why don't you move in there this morning? Why don't you make your mind up to go ahead and move in the house with Jesus? Quit playing with this thing. Brother Jeff and Brother Jerry work here every day. They know play day's over with. You know what people are going through. You hear it. You see it. It's some of you, thank God, I'm not in a bad place. Everything's fine with me. I mean, it's heaven on earth right now for me. But it ain't for everybody else. A lot of folk here are in places they've never been. It's not play day anymore for us. We have to make sure that this is a safe place for all of us. That we help all of us. We walk hand in hand together. That no one, I know we say it, but I believe it. I just believe we can do that. That no one is left behind. Now, I can't guarantee you won't lose your home. I cannot guarantee you won't have your car repossessed. I can guarantee you that God, if it happens, if you stay trustworthy with God, God's got something better for you. That's all I can say.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't protect my own home. I can't protect yours.
Come on.
He lost his home. He's lost his home. I'm not saying you're going to lose it. I'm trying to tell you, get your focus off that and get it on the Lord. You won't lose it. You don't have to lose it. I didn't know what you know. I don't know what you know. I don't know what you know. I know if you're trusting God all the way, God will make it up for you. If you just get in a position. Think about it. I'm going to close. Think about it. Let me read all this. God came by and chose you. As I said, some of you think you chose Him, but Scripture says He chose you. He chose you knowing how you would be. He chose you knowing the blunders. Amen. You would make. And He went ahead and chose you anyway. Don't that tell you something about your God? Don't that tell you something about your Lord? That He knows the frame that you are, and then you would miss it along, but He chose you anyway. God chose Moses, listen, to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt towards the promised land only after he had murdered the Egyptian. I'm not glorifying the sin. I'm glorifying our God. Because listen, we count some people out that God doesn't.
Right.
Woo! Listen. He murdered an Egyptian and hid him in the sand, rejected by his own people. God says, now that you're a murderer and you've been rejected by your own people, I got an assignment for you. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. What confidence that had to take. Peter was chosen by God to deliver the first message after the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. He was moody. He was loudmouthed. He was a cusser. He would deny Jesus. But when the New Testament church was born, Peter was chosen to say, no, no, this is that. This is what the Bible said about Joel. That in the last days he pour out his spirit. God chose a man that was a cusser to talk about the Holy Spirit.
Come on, hallelujah. Good
stuff. That's our kind of God. Say, that's my kind of God. Amen. It was after Paul had persecuted and killed hundreds of God's people. God came and said, I know that you killed hundreds. Now go convert thousands. Well, God said, I know you killed hundreds, but I commission you, put you on assignment now to go and heal and deliver and convert thousands.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What am I saying? Blunders and mess ups are no excuses for not being chosen.
Amen.
We have to do away with all our disqualification stuff, whether it be of ourselves or someone else. And thank God that it had not been for the grace of God, we would ourselves be today in the same place. He brought me thus far. He will surely take me to the end. God doesn't use the pious. He uses the broken. Listen what I said. Some folks will not be used by God because they're too ready. They're so holy in their mind that they're the only one that God can use at the moment. Preaching now, ain't I? Psalm 34:18 said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Ooh, listen, write this down. The truth is, God's desire and power for your life is greater than your failure. There is inside of you more than you think. The truth of who you are is greater than what you have been permitted to believe. Listen to that. The truth of who you are is greater than what you have been permitted to believe. Do you hear me? The truth of who you really are is far greater than what you have been permitted to believe by religious thinking. I'm not uncomfortable with my relationship with God. Am I perfect? No, but I'm not uncomfortable. Let me tell you, there's so much, you can't hardly, it's amazing. If I told you how bad you are, y'all be crying, squirming, running to the altar. And I'm trying to tell you, it's all right. The Bible says you are complete in Him. Well, if you're complete in Him, you can't get any more complete. And I'm telling you, if you're uncomfortable with your relationship with God, you can never walk uprightly. You cannot enter into His presence with thanksgiving and joy, and to His courts with praise. Many of you are shouting on Sunday by faith alone, and they ain't doing nothing because you're not comfortable with your relationship with God. I can't fix that for you. Jesus can't fix that for you. You have to fix that yourself. You have to get in the Word and find out who you are, why you're here, and what's inside of you. You can't expect people to bump you up all the time. Now, brother, if you just hang on for a while, God will. Now, brother, sister, if you just hang on a while, God will. How you doing today? God is on your side. Don't you know He is? Oh, how you're not the head, the tail, you're the head. Don't you know you are? After that woman said that, you have the unction to function. She said, you know, Jesus rode in on a donkey. I'd like just to be the tail of that donkey. Jerry said, wait now, sister, that's false humility. The Bible says you're not the tail, you're the head. You can be the head, not the tail.
Come on.
We had I'm glad you're listening. We had somebody back in the room the other day and talking about, you know, they needed some glasses and this and that and the other. And I said, Penny, go get $200. Give this man some money to buy him some glasses. He can't see. And when she come up, you know, he got in the spirit and he started speaking in tongues and praising God and all that. And that was fine. Then he started on, you know, I don't think God wants everybody to be wealthy. You know, this prosperity thing. And all of a sudden, Dina grabbed him and said, listen, if we didn't have no money, we couldn't give you no money for that glasses this morning, man. What you talking about? I started saying, Dina, what are you doing? She's looking at him before I could say a word. She popped him on, turned him around. Listen, man, somebody got to have some money to buy them glasses for you.
Right.
It's so easy, though, to fall in that trap of just living in the low life and accepting everything as it is. What I'm trying to tell you, man, there's a place you can live with Jesus where the good stuff is poured out. And this is a season we've got to come up in our mind, in our spirit, in our belief, in the Word of God to know who we are and live and lean on Jesus. If you need the church to pump you up, you're not going to get the good stuff. I probably, you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to lose everybody over the way I preach. I'm trying to grow you up. In case the church does fail you, you won't fail. Amen. Where if we had to go underground today? Where if they stole every Bible? Where if they told us we couldn't worship the Lord? How many of you could continue with your Lord? I got people down at Griffin every time. I wish we could go back to your daddy's church fellowship. I can remember your daddy preaching. I can remember those songs, son. I don't want to go back there. I want to go forward. Yeah. And that's stupid to think you can go back there. Amen. That's gone. That church don't exist no more. My daddy's in heaven. That church does not even exist anymore. Why are you talking about going back and grabbing hold of something and didn't work in your life? I want to go forward. This is a season to live in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen. What's inside of you is far greater than what you've been permitted to believe. Ooh, I know you didn't get that. I said, what's inside of you, Jerry? It's more than what you've been permitted to believe to thus now. But now, you have heard the word. So now you're clean. Why don't you permit yourself to have a true relationship with Jesus? Why don't you permit yourself to walk boldly into His throne room for once in your life without fear of condemnation and sit down and have a talk with the Lord? Huh? Why don't you permit yourself to have the joy of the Lord in your life?
Come on.
To have a good day once in a while. To wake up one morning and don't even look at your paycheck. Don't look at nothing, but look unto the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord that day. And thank Him for what you do have. You have breath to breathe. You have your children are with you. They're not in the hospital. Nobody's in the morgue. I mean, you're not out on the street. At least you're living somewhere. Why don't you try that for a few days instead of just getting into all this garbage stuff and talk about how frail you are and how nobody loves you and nobody cared for you and everybody's looking over you and you don't know what you're going to do. You're going to lose everything and, oh, it's so bad and all this stuff. Why don't you just move in with the Lord a little bit?
Hallelujah.
And then when you start doing that, you can start asking and guess what? He'll give attention to what you ask for and bam. Whether you know it or not, and I'm closing, trying to, your life can change in one moment for the better. My favorite scripture, Proverbs. Your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. But you got to believe in your gift. It's my time, Brad. Let's stand. It's
hallelujah.
Y'all didn't shout much on this one, but that's all right. Uncomfortable. They just go back and tell me. Most of you are uncomfortable in relationship with God. And I can't fix that for you. A standard of a song that touch your emotions will not change your life. But a step of faith, trusting in what he said, not how you feel, is the way out.
Amen.
Trusting what the book says is your way out.
Amen. Hallelujah.
One more time. What you have inside of you is far greater than what you've been allowed to believe. Amen. Write that down and get a hold of that. Because we told you how bad you are so many years. And how much you need more of Jesus. It's hard for anybody just to sit down and approach God boldly. If every day I come to your house and you say, you know what, you need to change your pair of shoes. You can't come in today. I go change my shoes. Come back to your house tomorrow and said, you know what? Those pants are not right. Go change them. I might let you in. I come back the next day. Man, your hair ain't combed right. Go comb your hair. I'm just using an example. Come back the next day. You know, I don't like the way you look today. Your attitude's not right. You can't come in. It won't be long. I won't be coming back to your house trying to come in. Correct. Even a dog, you beat it long enough, ain't come to the door.
That's right.
And we've been beat so long, it's going to take years for some of you to ever get a hold of it. I hope you do before I die, that there's something far greater than you, inside of you, that is of Jesus, than you have ever been permitted to believe.
Yeah.
We have got to come up in our believing and know who we are in order to fight the fight of faith that's coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do y'all love me today?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for the truth.
Right, walk uprightly.
Yeah.
And how do you walk uprightly? Trust in the Lord. I learned a habit a long time ago, and maybe some of you need to. And my wife will verify this, that when I have a thought that comes into my mind that takes me away from what I know God has for me, I always say glory to God. I cut that thing. Driving down the road, who are you talking to? I'm really talking to myself. Casting down imagination. Or any high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the... Listen. I love you. The church loves you. But the way out of your mess, it comes by the way you approach God. Walk in His throne room boldly. Nothing like it. When you can go to bed at night talking to the Lord, go in your sleep, get up the next morning, first thing you do, hello, Jesus.
Amen.
Hello, God. Hello, Holy Spirit. Hello, Abby. Let's go outside and walk.
Hallelujah.
Leave Penny sleeping. We're always up for most time. You know, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not getting much sleep. Anybody else in here not getting much sleep? My mind is thinking about everything. It's good, though. It's good stuff. Say it's good stuff.
Good stuff.
It's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. You hear me? It's really good stuff. Jeanette, it's really good stuff. anybody ought to know, you ought to know God touched me. You know where I came from. You know where I've been. I want you to know where you're going. I don't want to lean sick church. I don't want you leaning on me. Hear me? I don't want you having to have what's in the house. I want you to having to have what's in the Lord. We don't have the resources. No church can deal with what's going on today. You're going to see it more and more. The religion is coming down. It's only what's of God that will remain. The shaking is shaking. There'll be many tears. I already prophesied. Many tears shed in this day. Many people will shed. Very few people will have joy. Because the chicken coop is falling down. It ought to. What is not of God, let it crumble now. Say that with me. What is not of God, let it crumble now. My future is at stake. Our children's future is at stake. Your children's future is at stake. And they don't need nothing that's powerless, phony. They don't need no gimmicks. They need to see the true and living God. Father, we thank you. We can walk uprightly in your sight. We can lean upon you, Lord, not upon our own understanding. We can acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our path. You said no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. We are your children. The sheep are your pastures. People have overlooked many of us in life. Many people here have been overlooked. Many of them here, Lord, feel lonely and defeated that nobody cares for them. But I want them to know, Lord, you ain't looked over them. If you use Moses and you use Peter and you use Paul and you use David and, oh, Lord, you use me, you can truly use them. Lord, may we cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And as we walk out this place today and we go home and we start our busy days tomorrow, Lord, may some way, somehow the revelation of who we are rise up in us. And let us know there is something far greater in us than what we have been allowed to believe. Because of religious thinking and because of things we don't understand, we sometimes think the world is greater than what we have inside, and it isn't. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God before us, who can be against us? Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Thank you for this day. Thank you for love. Thank you for love. Thank you for the precious love of Jesus. Thank you for one another. Thank you for this fine, wonderful house of God that you bless us with. The wonderful building and all that we have here. Thank you, Lord, for the givers. Thank you, Lord, for the worship team. Thank you, Lord, for our preachers and our servants, our ushers and our children workers and all those that you bless us with. What a wonderful gift you've given unto us. And I say thank you, Lord. I bless you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen and amen and amen. Brother Jerry, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated just for a minute. You'll bear with us just for a second. Brother Rodney, I'm going to take the liberty to cancel the video. We had a very short video, and I would just like to just change it just a little bit, if I could. We'll give you a few instructions of what we want to do. One way we can honor our pastor today is be a church of order. So when we go out orderly today and we have our meals together today, you can orderly love one another by loving what he loves, loving each other. Now, scriptures tell us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to honor those that God has set over us. Today, I believe you've seen why. If you've not seen why, today you saw another reason. A man that has heart cries out to you. And brother, let me just say this to you. When someone says that they should appreciate something, such as Pastor's Appreciation Day, a lot of people think that just means thankfulness. But what it really means is to see value in something. Mm-hmm. Not just value, but increasing value. Just like when a house appreciates in value, there's more value. And I want you to know today that we appreciate you. Amen. We see value in you. We see you growing in the Lord. We see you loving in the Lord. We see things happening in your life. We see value in you, and we see a growing value in you. When I look at Pastor Penny, I see her stability. I see her kindness and her love and her commitment to you in this church. I see you. The other day at the expo, I was having a kidney stone and my back has been out. Brother Jeff was bending over, a man that's had a heart attack and a man who's had his troubles. He was doing the bending over in the boxes and keeping everything stocked for the expo and talking to people, filling in busy as he could be, did a wonderful job. In him, I saw you. When we came back and was unloading everything, Pastor Pam pulled up and was out there in the car. And they were helping her into a car when we were coming up. She was in pain and got into the car. And the first thing she said to me when she looked out the window was she asked me how I was doing. In her, I saw you. And I just want you to know that this church sees you. We see your love. We see your kindness. And today we've set aside this day for you to appreciate you, for we see the value in you and what's going on in this body. So with that said, we're going to say a quick prayer and we're going to dismiss our pastor and his family. Now, as soon as we get through with the prayer, I want the church to stand in honor and we're going to give an applause until him, his wife, and his family all exit the building. They're going out first to just relax for a second and then go back into the fellowship hall. The next thing I want to happen is we'll dismiss those with children so you can get on out to your children. And then we're going to go out and we're going to enjoy a wonderful day. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Father God, we just bless you. We honor you, Father, because we see in that which you've done in our lives through our pastor, that you honored us, that you've given us love and kindness. You've set someone over us who really understands the greatest is to be the least. Someone who has cried over the church, someone who has loved this body, someone who has fallen in love with what you love. And so therefore, Lord, we know that when we honor him, we honor you. That when we show appreciation in our love to our pastor, we show love and appreciation for you. We bow our hearts before you, Father, and we thank you for this wonderful thing that you've done. We thank you that he never gave up, that he had a family that supported him and followed him. Children who had every reason they could have cried and whined about all that's gone on in their lives, but who loved you enough to love his family, their parents, and follow their parents. I ask today, Lord, that this be set aside as a special day to honor our pastor and his family, that they would sense your love in a way they've never experienced, that they would sense your life, your peace, and your rest. For your word says, greater love has no man than to lay down their lives for one another. Father, they have truly laid down their lives. And so we bless you and we honor you, Father. For it's in the name of Jesus we all said, amen. Let's all stand. Pastor, you and your family are dismissed. We thank you, my brother. Let's give them a hand and applaud until they leave. Amen. 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 Sister Renee. Amen. 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 If you need an envelope, raise your hands very quickly. Need one over here, John. Anybody else? We're going to give them time to get settled in. We just want to bless them today. By blessing them, you're blessing them.